Would you please turn in your Matthew chapter 20. We're looking this morning at verses 29 through 34. Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34. And would you listen carefully as I read this passage? And as they were going out from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And the multitude sternly told them to be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. So ends the reading of God's word. May he bless this short text of scripture to our understanding this morning. Now, our reading of God's law this morning reminded us that we are to be merciful just as our Heavenly Father is merciful. We are to show mercy to others who not only don't deserve it, but deserve just the opposite. Jesus gave us the perfect example of what it is he wants us to do in the parable of the Good Samaritan. When one of the lawyers asked him what a man must do to inherit eternal life, Jesus asked him what he thought. Well, he said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Well, as you know, Jesus didn't just tell him who his neighbor was, but showed him by means of a story what a neighbor does. He said, A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Now, having said this, Jesus wanted to know whether or not the man he told this story to understood its implications. And so he asked, Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? Was it his countrymen? The 2 that passed by on the other side and didn't stop to help the man? Or was it this hated Samaritan? Well, the man answered correctly. He said, The one who showed mercy toward him. It was the Samaritan. Jesus said, You're right. And now what you need to do is go and do the same thing to all men, whether they are friends or enemies. The Lord wants us to show love and compassion. Now, this morning, our Lord Jesus gives to us a wonderful example of this mercy and compassion, which is in his own heart toward those who belong to him in the healing of these 2 blind men. And through this, I pray that the Holy Spirit will encourage us to feel the same compassion and to show the same kind of mercy toward others. Our story begins with the final leg of Christ's journey to Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples were just leaving Jericho with a great crowd of people following after him when two blind men who were sitting by the side of the road, realizing that Jesus was passing by, suddenly cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Now, we really don't know who these two men were, but we certainly do know who one of them was. Mark tells us his name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Mark actually tells us in his gospel about Bartimaeus without even mentioning the other man who was with him, the other blind man, probably because he was more outspoken than the other. And we find that often in the Gospel of Matthew. He will include others in the story that the others don't seem to include. That doesn't mean that they're contradicting one another. It simply means that one is being more full in the details of the account. Now, these men were sitting by the side of the road, undoubtedly because they were beggars. A blind man, as you might imagine, would have a very difficult time making a living in Israel in those days. Unless you could farm, or you had some kind of trade, or didn't need to work because you happened to be independently wealthy, you would be in constant danger of starving to death. And so in order to save yourself and your family, you would have to do what you could do. And the only thing you could do, basically, was beg. And of course, if you're going to beg, you're going to want to sit in the best areas for begging. You'll want to be where lots of people go by so that more people will see you and more people might be moved with compassion and mercy to reach out to help you. Just think about all the beggars that we have around us here in Modesto. Where do you see them standing? Out in the middle of a field or under a bridge where nobody can see them? Are they standing on the street corners in your neighborhoods where maybe a few people pass by during the day? No, they're out in the busy intersections. They're at the freeway exits where you have hundreds of cars, thousands of cars going by. They stand by the streetlights. And when the streetlight stops you, they hope that you'll read their sign and that maybe you'll feel some compassion towards them and help them. Well, at the time that Jesus was ministering in Israel, Jericho was a very rich and flourishing town where lots of merchants would come and trade there. A man could do a lot worse than to sit by the side of the roads going in and out of that town to beg. Well, that's what these men were doing. They were sitting by the side of the road day after day with their hands reaching out, asking for alms so that they might receive perhaps a few dollars and they might be able to live. But of course, as they were begging, they probably never expected to have someone so important as the Lord Jesus Christ pass by them with something far more precious to give than just a few dollars of money. But before we look at what they received from Jesus, let's first of all look at what these two men thought about him, what it is they believed. Look at what they said when they heard that Jesus was passing by. They immediately began to call out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Do you know these words are words that the Pharisees would never have dreamed of saying to Jesus? They denied these things all the way to Christ's death. And those who continue to follow in their footsteps today continue to deny them. Lord is the covenant name of God. It's the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament covenant name of God, which was Yahweh. Now, we know from the Scriptures that sometimes the word Lord is used to honor other people, like when we call somebody sir. But in this case, it's pretty clear, I think, that the blind men did not mean that, but they had something far more important in view. And I think we know that, too, by what they followed it up with. They called him the Son of David, which, as we know, is a messianic title. God had promised to seat one of the sons of David upon his throne and that he would establish that throne forever. these blind men were saying, "You, Jesus, are that Son of David. You are the Messiah." And of course, we know from the scriptures that God foretold the Messiah would be more than just a man. If his throne is to be established forever and to go on forever and ever, it was much greater than that. As a matter of fact, Christ would be God himself in human flesh. And it's quite possible that the beggars, the blind men, realized this and accepted this. Again, something that the Pharisees would never have accepted. They knew who Jesus was, and they also knew that he could help them like nobody else could. And so what did they do? Well, they didn't keep quiet about it. It's one thing to know that Jesus can help you. It's quite another to actually ask him for help. Sometimes I think we find ourselves in situations where we need help. Help that only Jesus can give us. And even though we know that he can help and that he has promised to help us in whatever our needs might be, we're still afraid to ask him, either because we don't feel like we're worthy enough to come into his presence, and really we aren't worthy enough, but yet God makes us worthy enough through Jesus Christ and he bids us to come. Or maybe it's because we don't believe the problems that we're experiencing are really serious enough to come to Jesus with. But of course, we need to put those things aside, don't we? Because God says, doesn't matter how small your problems are, you need to come to Jesus with all of them. Well, I don't think these men thought that their problems were small. And obviously, they didn't think that Jesus didn't want to be bothered with them. As a matter of fact, they called out and cried out with a loud voice more than once, trying to get Jesus' attention, because they wanted his help. They also didn't let the crowd of people who were there following Jesus stop them either. They cried out for help. However, notice when the people heard them, they sternly warned them to be quiet. Now, you know, it's interesting. Why did these people do that? Why were they trying to stop these men from coming to Christ? After all, weren't these Christ's followers? They weren't his enemies. They weren't following Jesus around, jeering him and trying to keep people away. These were people who professed him, who professed to be his friends, who at least professed him to be the Messiah. They shouldn't have tried to stop Bartimaeus or his friend from crying out to Christ. They really should have helped them come. But for some reason, they did try to stop them. Maybe it's because they didn't like beggars. Sometimes beggars, we have to admit, are very outspoken and aggressive. We know that they need to be in order to survive, don't they? Because somebody who kind of goes around half-heartedly asking for help generally doesn't receive any. But if they're very aggressive and outspoken, sometimes they can become repulsive in the eyes of other people. I don't think anybody likes somebody who is pushy. We like to see people who are sort of humble and meek before we will actually reach out to help them. Well, maybe that's what the reason was, or maybe it's because they didn't think that Jesus wanted to be bothered with these two men. He had more important things to do. Well, sometimes the disciples made mistakes, and they tried to keep people away from Jesus that Jesus really didn't want them to keep away, such as when the parents brought their children to Christ in order to lay his hands upon them and bless them. Sometimes disciples can be very well-meaning. Sometimes they can do things that are foolish. And maybe that's what the problem was. Or it could have been that most of these people were only following Jesus because Jesus was popular, because Jesus was doing the miraculous, and people like to see things that are miraculous. They like to see the supernatural. I mean, just look at how our society is going after all these different avenues of supernatural kinds of things. It may have been that some of them, or many of them, were Christians in name only, but not really. After all, it would only be a few short days from this time that this crowd that followed Jesus, that is, if they were there at the time of the just before the crucifixion at his trial, would cry out for his death. And this certainly wouldn't be the first time that those who have professed to know the Lord Jesus Christ would actually keep people away from Him. Sometimes the devil uses professing Christians and their lives, their lack of holiness, all the sins and mistakes that they make, to keep other people from coming to Him. But even though the crowd tried to stop these two blind men, we need to realize that they persevered. They cried out all the more, saying, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." They weren't going to let anything stop them. Now, you know, the interesting thing is, in Mark, when he is recounting this passage, he says the same thing. The crowd was trying to keep them away. But as soon as Jesus called for them, suddenly the crowd turned and said, "Take courage. He's calling for you. Why don't you come on to Jesus?" That almost seems hypocritical. It's hard really to know what was going on in the eyes or in the minds of these crowds. But we do know one thing, that these two blind men wanted this blessing of Christ so strongly that they were not willing to let anything stop them from getting to it. And their perseverance finally paid off. Jesus stopped and He called them and He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." And Jesus says, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. And immediately they regained their sight and followed Him. Now Jesus understood that these men knew who He was. He probably even heard them the first time they cried out, but didn't answer them right away. It's probably because He wanted to see whether or not they would be willing to persevere until they received this blessing. This wouldn't be the first time that Jesus put someone's faith on trial. Remember when the Syrophoenician woman came to Christ and she begged Him that He might heal her daughter who was cruelly demon-possessed, but Jesus didn't answer her right away. But she persisted until Jesus finally did, teaching us, of course, that we need to persist in our prayers. We need to persist in seeking after the Lord. Sometimes He tests our faith in the same way. Here the Lord was testing their faith to see if they would continue to persevere. And when they were finally brought to Him, and He heard what it was that they wanted, what it is they needed, what it is they were seeking for, He was moved with compassion. You know, this is one thing we need to understand and to be reminded of this morning. And that is the compassion that Christ has for His people. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew what it was like to be weak. He was one who could sympathize with the situation that His people were in and what we're in today. Even though Christ personally did not know what it was like to be blind, He certainly knew that being blind would make life very difficult. He is the one who has entered into the distresses of His people, who knows what they're going through. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why Christ became a man. We have a great high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses and who knows how to come to our aid because He has experienced our weaknesses. Christ could feel the pain of these two individuals. But of course, I think what moved His heart more than anything else was the fact that the distress of these two men was the distress of His children. These were two who apparently knew Him, who were His children. They had confessed Him to be the Lord. They had recognized Him as the Son of David, the Messiah, the Promised One. So the Bible tells us that Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out and touched their eyes and healed them. You know, Mark tells us that Jesus said to Bartimaeus that your faith has saved you. I think we should assume that the same thing happened to the other blind man as well. Because notice what happened immediately after they were healed. They didn't just go off rejoicing, but instead they followed the Lord Jesus immediately. Now when these beggars sat down on the side of the road to beg alms that day, they probably never expected to receive such a blessing as this. What they received was the healing of their eyes. they couldn't see, but now they could. But much more importantly, they also received the healing of their souls. And this they received by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was through faith in the Lord Jesus that they were made completely whole, not just in their bodies, but also in their souls. Now, what can we learn from the story of these two blind men? First of all, we need to understand that we're really in the same situation that they were when we came into this world. That we were also blind, and we were also beggars. We, like them, came into this world spiritually dead, blind to the things of the Lord, and in absolute spiritual poverty. We obviously didn't have any claims on the blessings of God, especially the blessing of salvation. But yet, in the midst of our situation, God had mercy upon us. His heart was moved with compassion toward us. The Bible says, even before we were born. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. When we were completely ignorant of God's mercy and His grace through Jesus Christ, God sent His servants to preach the gospel to us so that we might hear the good news. While we were yet His enemies and blind to the spiritual beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts and opened our eyes, worked faith within us, gave us a desire for the Lord Jesus Christ and a love for Him. And even though the devil may have used many in the established church, and even many who are outside of the church to try to keep us away from Christ, yet God still gave us the grace to persevere until we finally came to Him and embraced Him savingly. The first thing we need to learn here is the compassion of the Lord toward those who believe, toward us. If it hadn't been for His mercy, we would all have been lost forever. We owe the Lord absolutely everything, even as these two blind men did, who received salvation on that day on the road into Jericho. Now, of course, what should we give to the Lord in return for the mercies He's first shown us? We should give Him everything we have. The Lord wants all of us. He wants all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. He wants all that we have, all of our resources, all of our time, and all of our talents. He wants us to give everything to Him and follow Him, even as these two men got up and followed after Jesus, having received this great gift of His mercy. Really, after Christ has given us so much, can we really give to Him anything less than all that we have? Now, the second thing we should learn from this is that if you're not a Christian here this morning, that Christ is full of love and compassion toward those who are outside of Him, outside of His mercy. He is full of mercy and compassion toward sinners. The Scripture says that He laid down His life for sinners. Look at His sufferings. Look at His dying love. The Lord stands and He calls to you to come to Him. He says to all, "Come to Me and I will give you life." Now, with such an offer of love and mercy to those who will come to Him to receive that, can you really afford to stay away? Don't let anything stop you if you're outside of Christ. Run to Christ. Be like these two beggars that would not let anything stop them. The Lord Jesus Christ calls you. Don't let anything keep you away, but push forward to Christ. Take hold of Him by faith and receive Him. The Lord Jesus calls to you from His Word this morning. Come to Him and you will receive His life. He is full of mercy and compassion towards sinners such as you. Now, the third thing we need to learn from this passage is that Jesus is not just concerned about our spiritual needs, even though those things are very important. He is also concerned about our material needs. Now, Jesus did do miracles in order to show who he was, that he was the Messiah. But that's not the only reason he did them. Notice the Bible says that Jesus' heart was moved with compassion toward the plight of these two men. And so whatever your struggles may be this morning, whether they're physical, whether they're financial, this text tells you that you need to put your trust in the Lord. His heart is full of compassion and mercy toward you. And so he says to you, persevere in prayer. Ask, seek, and knock until he gives you what it is you are seeking for. But of course, we always need to bear in mind that the Lord doesn't always give us everything that we might like, but he always gives us what we need. And for that, we should be thankful. Whatever your need is, come to the Lord Jesus this morning. But the last thing we also need to learn from this is that our Lord wants us, by this example, to imitate this same compassion and mercy. We mustn't forget that Jesus gave us an example of how he wants us to live, that we are to follow in his footsteps. We need to pray that Christ will give to us a heart of compassion, that we would be willing to show mercy to all, even to our enemies, even as he and his Father have also done. If Christ's love was shut off toward us, we would die. Sometimes if we shut our love off toward others, they may die as well. Let's be willing then to share our material goods with others, especially the poor, who need them the most and who cannot repay us. But most of all, let's be willing to share that which is most important of all, and that is the gospel, with those who are spiritually poor, that they might become rich in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has entrusted to us a treasure which is beyond value, something much more precious than all the gold and silver in the world. And it's something that we can freely give away, and it won't really cost us anything except the time it takes to speak to somebody about it. May the Lord so fill our hearts with his love and compassion toward others that we would be willing to share this great treasure with others. Let us pray that God will do so in our hearts. He's already put his Spirit there. The desire is there. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we need to pray that God would help us to overcome that flesh and to be so moved with his love that we would reach out to others, especially during this Christmas season where we have so many more opportunities. Well, may our gracious God apply his word to our hearts by his Spirit this morning, as each of us needs to hear it. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example again of Christ's love toward these two poor blind men who lived so many years ago in Israel, just outside of Jericho. And Father, we realize that we are those blind men. We are just like them. We are just as indebted to your grace and mercy as they are, and even more so. Father, we pray, receive our thanks this morning for opening our eyes and entrusting us with the true spiritual riches. And Lord, if there are any here this morning who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would please open their eyes, that they might see that love and mercy which is there towards sinners, and recognize that they are sinners, and come to Christ that they might receive his life. Father, we also recognize that in Jesus Christ there is more. There are also material blessings, sometimes of healing, sometimes of financial blessing, O God, according as it is your will. And Father, whatever our needs are this morning, we pray that we may be encouraged to come to you now with these needs and lift them up to you. And we pray that you would hear our needs, O God, and that you would answer according to what it is your good pleasure to give us. Lord, be merciful to us in our needs and grant us what we need to live and to glorify you. But lastly, also, our God, we pray that you would fill our hearts with this same love and mercy, that you would make us to love even as Jesus loves, even as he loved then, as he loves now. Fill us, O God, with compassion toward the lost, that they might come to Christ. Fill us with compassion toward the poor, that we may give what we can to relieve them in their distress. And Father, let us always remember that you will repay us for what we do, and you will treat us, O God, in exactly the same way. Help us then, Father, to be gracious and giving to others, and especially to be gracious and giving with the gospel. And as we do, our God, would you please open up the windows of heaven and pour your blessing out upon us, that we might do even more for your glory. And Father, we'll thank you. Lord, would you please be with us, and would you please hear us in these prayers, for we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.